that three-day truce in the Middle East is over. Earlier today, rockets from Gaza were fired into Israel. Israel intercepted them with the Iron Dome missile defense shield and responded with airstrikes. Congress just passed a $225 million emergency funding bill for the Iron Dome, which made us wonder how much U.S. aid goes to Israel and why was this bill nearly unanimous. Dov Waxman is a professor of political science, international affairs, and Israel studies at Northeastern University. He's in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
So start to break it down for us. How much money has it been over the years and where does it go?
Well, I mean, since the first amounts were given around 1949, it's amounted to about $120 billion. That's in current dollar terms. If you adjust that for inflation, that's $235 billion, mm-hmm. Which makes Israel the largest single recipient of U.S. Foreign aid since World War II.
How has it increased in the last few years?
Initially, in the 1950s and 1960s, it was very small amounts of aid. And it was largely civilian aid, and it was in the form of loans rather than grants. What's happened since really the late 1980s is that the aid has shifted from civilian to military. Now it's entirely military aid. There's no civilian aid. And this comes in the form of $3.1 billion in aid each year. Just to give you some idea, in the 1950s and 1960s, the total amount of U.S. aid to Israel in the first two decades of Israel's existence amounted to about $3 billion. Mm-hmm. Now Israel gets $3.1 billion every year.
Every year. And we just saw an increase before lawmakers went home for the Iron Dome defense shield.
Actually, that's in addition to the $3.1 billion. So the lump sum figure that I was referring to comes out of the State Department's foreign aid budget. In addition to that, there's also Defense Department appropriations out of the budget for defense spending. And that includes the money that the United States gives Israel for the production of its own missile defense system, which is the Iron Dome system, as well as joint missile defense systems, which is that the United States is developing in coordination nation with Israel. So that's in addition, and something like more than $2 billion the United States has given in the form of missile defense spending. Just this year alone, as you note, it's just increased that to $235 million in this year.
Can you break it down within that number, or is it just as simple as saying missiles and weapons and supporting a defense system?
So if we take the $3.1 billion, mm-hmm. Essentially that money, 75% of that money has to be spent on U.S. arms. So, you know, think of it like at the beginning of each fiscal year, the United States government writes Israel a check and Israel has to spend three quarters of that money on American arms manufacturers. Mm-hmm. The rest of that, 25%, Israel can spend on its own domestic arms industry. So that money is in some sense being spent back in the United States. Separate to that, every year there's additional sources of funds that the U.S. provides. This year it's for Iron Dome. Other years it's for different kinds of projects that Israel requests. But the $3.1 billion is really the kind of sacrosanct figure that Israel receives. That was decided in 2007 by President Bush, and that will last through until 2018. That was a $30 billion agreement to provide $30 billion dispersed over that 10-year period.
Take us inside the debate over ending this support. There are people who very much support Israel who actually want to cut this U.S. funding to Israel because they don't want Israel to be beholden at all to the U.S. So take us behind all the different voices here.
Right. So there were voices both in the United States and in Israel itself that had different views on this. Within the United States, there were kind of, on those who are arguing for a reduction or even an outright elimination of aid, there were kind of two camps, if you like. On the one hand, there's the, let's say, Rand Paul camp, which basically regards foreign aid as something, as a waste of money, as something that the United States shouldn't be doing, and therefore wants to cut not just foreign aid to Israel, but foreign aid in general.
Although Rand Paul has qualified those remarks because they weren't very popular.
Well, right. So for political reasons, but the kind of, let's say, extreme fiscal conservative position is, you know, reduction of foreign aid. There's also the view that foreign aid provides the United States, or could provide the United States, I'm not sure if it actually does, with leverage over Israel that the United States and particularly presidents could use to pressure Israel to change their policies. And so some on the American right who are strongly supportive of Israel might be worried lest, in some circumstance, Israel and Israeli government feel inhibited pursuing its own policies because of American pressure. And that same view is also held by some within the Israeli right. The current economics minister, Naftali Bennett, for instance, has said he's in favor of a reduction of US aid to Israel, not because he's worried about money Americans spending on it, but rather he sees this as a potential source of leverage.
Yeah.
So there's that argument. The overwhelming sentiment, however, in Congress continues to see this aid as basically untouchable. The one area of which there is wall-to-wall bipartisan support is U.S. aid toward Israel. And this is why, essentially, the U.S. foreign aid bill continues to get passed, is because most of it goes toward Israel.
And why is there that overwhelming consensus? It might seem obvious, but why is it there?
In terms of the strategic arguments, historically, there's the view that by keeping Israel strong militarily, you deter its adversaries from attacking it, and therefore it promotes stability in the region. For instance, Iran or Syria, according to this logic, will be deterred from attacking Israel because of Israel's military strength. The other strategic argument is that Israel will feel secure by virtue of its strength, that it will therefore be more willing to take risks for peace. Those have been at least the rationales. Many people have questioned whether, in fact, the record bears that out, but that's kind of a strategic rationale. In addition to that, and I think maybe even more importantly, there's the economic argument. You know, essentially, this is a subsidy program for U.S. Arms manufacturers, and the fact that this spending is done across the United States means that many senators have their own political and economic interest in sustaining this. This creates, you know, thousands of American jobs. So there's an economic argument. And finally, it's good domestic politics. You know, if you want to burnish your pro-Israel credentials, the easiest thing to do is to vote for this foreign aid bill. And so this $3.1 billion is kind of sacrosanct. It's become, in many people's eyes, what represents America's support for Israel.
Duff Waxman. Professor Waxman, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Professor Waxman is co-director of the Middle East Center at Northeastern. By the way, he's also said to the thinking that Israel is compromised by U.S. aid, not really. A president can't use it as leverage because Congress will not vote to withhold it. And as to Senator Rand Paul, he said this week that while he's introduced legislation to end aid to Israel, he's not against aid now. He just feels every country would ultimately be better off being independent.